and welcome to the Dallas Soccer Show. I'm Dustin Nation, and this week I'm joined by Dan Crook from Third Degree. How's it going, Dan?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, glad to have you. This week, it's our first episode since our end of year episode. Lots happened. Preseason has started, and we are going to talk about that today. And Dan's going to give us kind of his opinion and his insight into what's been going on out there. So we're talking, I think you attended the scrimmage.
Yeah, I was there for open day practice and then again for the intra-squad scrimmage the weekend.
Cool. So we'll talk a little bit about that. We're going to get into some of the new players arriving and some of the players that haven't made it to training camp yet. We're going to get a little North Texas Soccer Club talk in. And we're also going to talk a little bit about my adventure to Allen to see the Sidekicks play. So we've got interviews galore for this episode. So we'll be sprinkling those in as well. You ready to get started, Dan?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Well, let's start off and let's talk a little bit about you. Why don't you tell us all how you got into soccer and into Third Degree and a little bit about yourself.
Well, as my accent gives away, I'm foreign, so I was naturally born holding a soccer ball. Lifelong fan of the game, big fan of my hometown team in England, Luton Town, top of League One, 5 points clear, yeah.
Aren't they like 17 games unbeaten?
Yes. Yeah, it was 17 games unbeaten.
With 13 wins?
Sorry?
With 13 wins.
You know more than I do, apparently. Wow.
I just saw somebody tweeted about it. That's about it.
That was me.
That was you? Okay. Hey, look at that.
Well, I retweeted it. If it's about Luton and you see it in America, I've retweeted it. Worked in the game a bit for a couple of clubs and then moved out here, started supporting FC Dallas as my local team. About 7 years ago, and had some opportunities to get back into writing about the game. So took those up, and really that's about it. Just been covering the team for Third Degree, the Dallas Morning News, and MajorLeagueSoccer.com. Oh, MLSSoccer.com, I should say.
Cool. All right. So I think we've both been out to training a little bit. You actually made it out to the scrimmage. Let's go ahead and get started in talking about like just your overall impression of how preseason training is going this year and maybe like how it kind of differs from the other ones you've seen.
The thing that stands out most is Lucci's approach. And typically coaches are very much, hey, let's have a run around. Let's play some soccer. Don't really think too much more. Let's just start getting fit. Lucci is very methodical. Right down from the first 3 days, the goalkeepers didn't touch a ball with their hands. They were doing outfield drills. From where he wants to have everyone able to contribute to attacking and defending and be comfortable with the ball at their feet, which Jesse Gonzalez needs. Because yes. His passing is terrible.
I was out there on Friday, and he was trying to like do a drop kick to one of the trainers, and it just kept going into the other fields. So, yeah, he could use that.
Yeah, definitely. Especially decision-making. They were using the scrimmage to kind of create scenarios more than just play a game. One of them was Kyle Zobek had a goal kick. His two center backs were on a byline either side of him, and then the opposing strikers were sat on the corners of the box. With the goal to not just kick it out, not just like hoof it upfield, but rather try and find a more creative way to get out of that situation. Yeah, kind of given the option of, well, you can play it to the defender and have the defender dribble out. You can play a 1-2 and try and draw one of the attackers away to open a passing lane, or you can you know, if you do need to, great, just smash it upfield. I really like the approaches with that. In terms of creating opportunities, there were a couple of times like Ryan Hollingshead was running through on goal. He's one-on-one and he passes out wide. He stops the attack. They don't give up possession, but they kind of like reset and then try and rebuild. It was just a bit interesting to sort of see him not score for the sake of scoring, but work on team goals. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Lucci was pretty clear afterwards when he said, "Hey, did you actually notice we didn't pump a long ball up the wings at all today? And they weren't going for verticality. They were kind of like trying to take it slow and build up play and then, you know, create another option than what FC Dallas has been for the past 10 years.
For sure. Does that differ from Pareja's approach at all from what you've seen? Or
I don't remember Oscar being that methodical about it. Mm-hmm. A lot of his approach in the early sessions, at least, was surrounded fitness, particularly after Fabian Bazan joined as strength and conditioning coach. Mm-hmm. They're kind of trying to get everyone up to kind of like the same level. You know, they would do drills and they'd kind of have it measured out that, you know, say like Mauro Diaz would do 3 reps and Matt Hedges would do 7 and Victorio would do 5 and kind of like just manage them that way. Mm-hmm. In terms of like their creativity and technicality, I don't remember anything in this greater detail.
I actually, when I was out there, I talked to Paxton Pomacall about that exact same thing, about how this one differs from his last one, or from his last, I guess he was in two preseasons prior to this. And so let me play his audio or his response here real quick. The other thing is that when I was out there, I missed the first half of practice, but the second half was mostly just like them having fun and having fun with the game of soccer. They played volleyball when they broke up into teams and had a little tournament. And I think, surprisingly enough, in a game where headers is the game, Barrios's team was actually one of the finalists. So that was kind of ironic, the shortest guy on the team. So let me play real quick that Paxton Pomacall interview. So you got the first full week of training in the books. How's it feeling?
One more day tomorrow, but pretty much done. Okay. Yeah, it's it's good. We're kind of gelling as a team. Everybody's getting the aerobic fitness back. A little bit of scrimmage tomorrow, and then we played a little bit 11v11 yesterday too. So we're starting to open up a little bit more and get into the real game a little bit more. And it feels good.
Gotcha. Yeah. So looks like Lucci's trying to keep things fun. You guys playing a little volleyball there. What's how's Lucci's preseason different from the other ones you've been in?
Yeah, I think the other two preseasons I was in, we had CONCACAF Champions League right off the bat, so we kind of jumped into things and started going really quickly, and the fitness had to get back in 3-4 weeks, whereas we have 6 weeks to prepare. So I think the first week has been a little bit less load on us, but solely I think because of CONCACAF Champions League, so that's pretty much the only difference in my opinion.
Right on. So did you do anything fun over the offseason?
Yeah, I hung out with my friends, took a little time off, and then, yeah, it was nice. I enjoyed it.
Cool. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
So, yeah, he's pretty much echoing kind of what you said, Blair's, like the previous preseasons were about getting in shape and getting in shape fast, and everybody's got their own individual program. This season, they're able to kind of take that slow and work their fitness up over a longer time.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, definitely. It's just been interesting to see that difference. The younger players seem to be excelling with the way it is right now. I'm not saying Oscar in any way neglected the young players. Obviously, he didn't. It's just kind of interesting, like Edwin Cerio, Thomas Roberts, you know, that kind of those kind of players, they would just look fantastic in the scrimmages. Even Breck Evans, who's just signed on for North Texas Soccer Club, he was a UCLA transfer to SMU. He jumped in at left back, and none of us there actually realized that Pedroso had even come out of the game at that point. So he'd definitely been doing a good job to that point.
Very cool. So on Saturday, they had the first inter-squad scrimmage of the season. I wasn't able to go to that because I went to the Sidekicks game that night, and I used my spousal soccer budget, is what I call it, on going to there instead of going to the scrimmage. What stood out to you at the scrimmage on Saturday?
It's tough. So the big thing that stood out to me, it was something I wrote about actually over at Third Degree. There were three teams each played two games. Two of the games finished goalless, which interestingly enough was the team made up of North Texas SC trialists. The one game that did kind of get a little bit chippy was the one that was mainly first teamers versus first teamers. Mm-hmm. Ja'Cory Hayes flies in on Thomas Roberts. Rhett Ziegler goes in hard on Michael Barrios. And I asked Lucci about it after the game, and let me try and think of what he actually said. Well, trying to be really prepared. I've actually got it here.
We'll link to your article in the show notes. So head over to DallasSoccerShow.com to see those. Continue.
Oh, no, you get that. That's awesome. He was sort of like, how old was he? He said, good, fantastic, it's fantastic. That's the beauty of it, and that's what it has to be like. They care, they're competitors. But as soon as the final whistle's done, as soon as they go in the locker room, their teammates, it's kind of finding a balance. He kept saying, here's the thing, right? There's boundaries. And if somebody crosses a line, yeah, they're out. But at the same time, if they don't test what the boundary is, they're not really being competitive. And they're not sort of playing with I think he kept using the phrase warrior spirit.
Yeah, he's used that one a lot. Mm. It's like, we better get used to that one.
Yeah, and then, kept talking about the getting out of their comfort zone.
Yeah.
I guess a big part of that is, hey, if someone goes through the back of you and the referee doesn't call it, well, you've got to get on with the game. The overriding thing is that it's not going to be a comfortable environment in the season, so why should it be now? You've got to compete for a place, compete for a contract, and, be switched on all day, every day.
For sure. So we've got some new faces in the squad. Did you get a chance to take a look at, I guess the ones that are there are Zdenek Ondrasik, the Cobra. Mm-hmm. Who else was there for the scrimmage?
Brisson hadn't arrived in the country yet. Zdenek Ondrasik, didn't see a whole lot of him because it wasn't that attack focused. Mm-hmm. It was more, can players crowd the box and can they get back 11 up and 11 back? So I think I never saw him take one shot. It was more a case of him pressuring defenders and kind of dropping out wide to make up numbers. It just wasn't a game that was meant for strikers. And that's not a knock against him. That was very much by design.
Sure.
Beyond that, new players didn't see a... There were none of the new signings other than him. The only other new players would have been homegrown. So like I said, Surio looked fantastic. He is the next homegrown sign-in for FC Dallas. Not new players, but players that haven't really been seen with the first team. Brian Reynolds, who has gradually found his way back from striker to right wing to right back. You know, for a guy who's an attacker, he looks really natural as a defender. Nice. Thomas Roberts, he is going to be the team's best prospect at 10. Probably a better prospect than Paxton Pomacall.
I'll take it.
During the scrimmage, he was pushing Pomacall and Aaron Gies both out onto the wings.
Wow. That's something, because those guys are supposed to be the tens, right?
Yeah. Well, a big part of it's going to be how Lucci's formation comes. In the youth days, he'd often play a 6, 8, and a 10, whereas Perea would more often than not play a 2 sixes with a 10. Mm-hmm. Obviously, when Acosta was here, it'd be more of a 6, 8, 10, but you know, without Acosta, there wasn't really a first-team-ready 8. This year, we're going to have Brian Acosta. You're going to have Brandon Sylvania will be ready. Whether he gets the minutes is another matter, though.
Huh. Well, yeah, that was my next question about, like, what formations did they use, or did they have a formation that you could tell, or was it kind of just blue? Yeah,
it was largely variations of a 4-3-3 or 4-2-3-1. It was kind of a bit of everything. I keep mentioning Sorio. He's a winger turned defensive midfielder, but he was playing as more of an 8. He was getting forward really well. It's tough. It wasn't like an actual game. Mm-hmm. It's kind of tough to draw a lot from it. Watching that, we saw the wing backs overlap so high up the field. I don't think in MLS that's going to happen. I'm not sure even if Lucci was setting up for any game, he's going to have it happen quite to that extreme. But, you know, going back to him saying, you know, we'll bring in the verticality in the next week, but right now we want to just work with build up play. It's kind of tough in that sense to draw too many conclusions of what the season will look like.
Sure. That's fair. That's fair. It is early. That was only the first week of practice. So speaking of the new arrivals, we've got the Cobra. I'm just going to try not to say his name because I don't want to butcher it. And Bresson. And this year, for our signings arrivals, we actually were privy to their flight information and got some fans out to the airports. I think there were a lot more for Zdenek Ondrejcik, but there were, I think El Matador had a pretty good presence at Bresson. What do you make of that whole situation?
I love that the team are doing it. And I've sort of said to a couple of people at the club, you know, I think this is really cool. It's engaging the fans, which is something that FC Dallas has historically struggled with and to a degree refused to do. I think there's a few hard heads there because everyone I say it to, they say, well, it's not a new thing. We just, you know, we haven't had the opportunity before. And it's like, no, it's a new thing.
Listeners can't see my eyebrow being raised there.
Yeah.
What?
It was really cool. With Zdenek Ondrejcik's arrival, you know, it was a pretty good turnout from both groups. And, he was really good taking time, talking to everyone, taking selfies, signing things, meeting kids. Really, really positive. Brassans, unfortunately, it was a pretty small turnout. They say El Matador had a good number of people there. For whatever reason, Dallas Bigelins didn't have anyone.
We're all at church on Sunday morning.
Yeah, it was a Sunday morning. It was kind of church time as well. For people who aren't that privy to what the supporters groups do, the Dallas Beer Guardians were hosting the Independent Supporters Council, which is the annual meeting of a lot of supporters groups from all over the nation. So, you know, there were a few people tied up with that. And it was just a kind of a rough time as well. After the Ondrejcik arrival, he was actually delayed 2 hours in customs from the time he landed.
Gross.
Rassan wasn't. He actually flew into New York City the night before and then down to Atlanta, stayed overnight, and then flew in on a domestic. So no customs to deal with. It was a good experience there.
Were you at both of them?
Yes.
Very cool.
It seems like Brian Acosta may not be doable for most people. They're still waiting on his visa, which the club feel probably means it's going to be a work day and work hours for most people.
Mm. Gotcha. Do they have a, I mean, have you talked to anybody about when they think that that might actually go through now that the shutdown stopped?
Unfortunately not. They're just kind of like taking it as an any day now kind of deal.
Yeah, I asked a couple people on Friday and they just shrugged their shoulders. They're like, we got no idea. So
yeah,
looks like nothing.
Yeah, I mean, no, unfortunately for them, it's just wait and see at the moment.
For sure. Well, while we're still talking about new arrivals, I did get to speak to Zdenek Ondrejcik after practice. It was kind of a bit of an awkward scenario. He had been waiting on me to talk to Paxton, and then as you'll hear in a little bit, we talked to, or I talked to Eric Quill after his first day on the job at North Texas Soccer Club. But Zdenek was very patient and was waiting on me, but we were both freezing our tail ends off, and neither of us really wanted to be out there anymore. So it was probably not my finest moment, but I'll go ahead and play the audio for you. It's a little astounding what you might hear. If you're from Texas, you might be surprised by this one. So let me go ahead and play that for you here.
Hi.
Howdy.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. So almost the first full week on the gig here. What'd you think of the club, America, all that stuff?
Only good things. only good stuff. I met many nice people here. Not only in the club, or out of the stadium as well, in the hotel, everywhere. So I'm nicely surprised. America is really different, but it's very nice. I like it here so much.
Yeah. I was reading that you talked to an NHL player about coming to Dallas and what Dallas is like. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Not yet, actually. I didn't contact him yet because I saw on the internet that he didn't play, so he is injured. So I didn't want to bother him. You know, I don't know him from before. So I'm planning to contact him, but I'll wait a little bit.
Gotcha. All right, one quick last one. In Texas, we have this recent phenomenon. It's like the popularity of the kolache. Have you had a chance to have a Texas kolache yet?
No, not yet.
All right, well, maybe later we'll schedule a sit down and I'll bring you some kolaches and you can get a sampling.
I'm not really sure what it is, so I'm not going to promise you that, but I'll try everything.
All right, man. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Welcome. So, he's from Czechoslovakia, right? Isn't that where kolaches come from? That's what the Czech bakery would have us believe.
Supposedly. maybe it was the Texas threw him off.
Maybe he thought it was drugs.
I mean, it does sound like it could be a drug.
Some of those Texas kolaches.
we're all just pronouncing it horribly wrong.
That's a good point. I have been known to botch a pronunciation or two, as this whole entire episode is probably evidence of. Sometime I'm going to get Zdenek Ondrejcik and we're going to get a video camera and I'm going to get him some kolaches and we're going to get an interview. So, hear that, FC Dallas, let's make it happen. I'm pointing at you. There was that.
I'm looking forward to that.
I just got to get some video equipment. It's something I'm lacking. I've got a pretty good audio setup, but that's about all I'm set up for. And I don't think that someone eating kolaches would translate over audio very well.
Just the lip smacking sound.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah.
Okay, so another recent, let's go switch gears here again. And let's talk a little bit about the other team that was out at preseason training, and that would be North Texas. Cannot pronounce this club's name today. North Texas Soccer Club. And they just announced on Thursday, last Thursday, that Eric Quill, former FC Dallas player, Dallas Burn player, is going to be their head coach. What do you make of that signing there, Dan?
Good, very good. You know, he was the academy director at Texans SC in Houston. That's the team that produced Chris Richards and Chris Kappas. For those who don't know Chris Kappas, a fantastic midfielder. FC Dallas wanted to sign him to an MLS contract as a homegrown, and then Houston Dynamo stepped in and said, hey, he's actually from Houston. That's our territory, so no. No one was particularly happy about that. He's now in Denmark on winter break, and he is a U.S. under 20 international.
Did he play at SMU?
No. He came straight from Eric Quill basically called Lucci and said, hey, I've got these two players. You need to take them. Neither have been to college.
Okay. I wonder which one of them I'm thinking about. Oh, well. My brain's a big pile of mush today.
On the basis of that, you've got a guy who knows about developing young players, and knows the context to kind of get them to the next level, and it sucks for Texans SC because they've lost their two best players and now they're director/coach, but for the sake of youth development in Texas, it's good to see someone with a youth mind in the first team and the second team.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, they're going to be working together. I talked to Eric after his first day on the job and asked him about that. And then also later on the show, you'll find out or you'll hear some audio of somebody who will be joining him as an assistant coach. So more on that. Stay tuned. Little teaser there. But here is what Eric had to say after his first day on the job as North Texas XC head coach.
We'll just change the name of the team.
Yeah, please. It's so hard. It's just a mouthful. So first day on the job. Or first day officially on the job, how are things going?
Good. It's been good to sort of meet everybody and sort of be inside the walls to see the culture firsthand and, get around the first team with Lucci and staff. And, again, I feel like I'm trying to soak in as much as possible early on and learn so I can be able to, sort of emulate what's been going on here with the first team. And so we're preparing kids to come into the first team quickly.
What's the collaboration you think is going to be between your team and Lucci's team as far as like style of play and all that stuff? Are you guys going to try to work together and emulate it? Or?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's the important thing is I'm trying to get players to the first team. So the style of play has got to be similar in the fact that so they know what they're going into. There's going to be training integration that players will go from, second team to first team. So for them to be able to feel comfortable knowing what they're walking into is super important. So when it translates on the weekend and they're inside the stadium, that they know exactly what they're meant to be there for.
This is the club's first season in this particular competition. What do you guys expect the level of competition to look like? I know you said yesterday, or in the press release yesterday, you said you really, really want to win. Like, what do you think this is going to look like as far as competition goes?
It's going to be good. I mean, it's going to be very competitive. I think it's going to be very physical for our young boys, which is what they need. I think that's probably in the psychological piece that, again, when they're getting banged around, what's their resilience like? So those are the things. But they're players. These guys are high-level soccer players. Their brains are right. I mean, their feet are right. It's going to be that, can they carry themselves throughout 90-plus minutes of a game when it's not going their way, when they are maybe mismatched with a physical mismatch. So these are all going to be learning curves that's going to really help them, expedite the process fast. They're not going to have games like this. They haven't had games like this in the past. So it's going to be very, very good for them.
So, thank you, sir.
Yeah, man.
Appreciate it. So, yeah, a lot of positivity coming out of him, and rightfully so. It's your first day on the job. You want to have a positive spirit. But it's interesting, him talking about how he wanted to integrate the style that Lucci is trying to integrate into the first team. And you see them out there practicing together. So that's I think that's a good thing. What about you, Dan?
Yeah, definitely. Actually, funny story about Eric Quill. His second day on the job, he was actually the referee for the inter-squad scrimmage. He did not know about this until he was given the whistle. Well, Nietzsche said, well, you've got to get to know the players at some point.
No better way.
So there were a few groans when he got a couple of decisions wrong. But it was good. You know, he got to see the players he's judging play. You know, going forward, you know, if you know the layout of Toyota Stadium and Toyota Soccer Centre, Field 1 is where the first team trains. That is the field on the northeast corner. And then to the very north of that is Field 4. Field 4 is going to be where the North Texas SC trains. It's going to be a case of, you know, they can look across and see each other. There used to actually be a tarp between the two fields, and they've removed that specifically for that integration so that they can see what the other's doing. So that, you know, if there is a homegrown who's probably not going to be in the 18, Lucia can say, hey, run over to the other field. At the same time, you know, if there's someone from someone who's been practicing with North Texas SC, say someone like an Ima Timasi or Francis Atuahene, who may get called up at some point during the season, you know, likewise they can say, right, go back over to the first team. And, you know, they're separated by a fence. It's actually the same kind of level of thinking as how the academy teams typically train on Dr. Pinkfield. Mm-hmm. So they are to the side of the first team. So, you know, again, they can see, they can kind of be called over. It's good kind of how it's all, they try and use an analogy about families, but it's like, you know, next door neighbors. Hey, come over, grab a beer. We'll watch some soccer.
Yeah. And you know, Oscar used to do something like that where like the academy would train right next door, and if they needed bodies for the first team, they'd just give a whistle and somebody would come over from, they just hop the fence or basically and come over and play with the first team. So it sounds like it's going to have a lot of that same dynamic of players coming in and where they're needed and putting them with the team or with the group that is going to best benefit everybody. So that's super exciting. I'm really excited about the North Texas SC season coming up. I'm not sure how many games I'll get to go to or talk about, but I'm excited to see at least what comes of it for sure.
Yeah, and you know, if you can't make those games, over at the blog at the Dallas Morning News, Third Degree, we'll have John Leonard covering North Texas SC in some good detail.
Excellent. So yeah, you'll have a dedicated guy for that USC team or USL team.
Certainly will.
Perfect. So be sure to head on over there once the season starts. And then let's wrap things up talking about my experience on Saturday night at the Sidekicks game versus the Rio Grande Barracudas. It was my first match. Have you ever been out to a Sidekicks match?
Unfortunately, no. I go out to Allen American's games in the same arena. I've been meaning to go to a Sidekicks game. It just every weekend they're at home, I have something come up or I'm out of town or, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely looking forward to it. I've had a few positive and negative things, so I'm interested. It definitely looks like, as far as the fans go and building a crowd, they are on a completely different level than they've ever been. That's really pleasing to see. And, you know, hopefully they can improve on the playing side and, you know, get it back to the glory days.
Yeah, for sure. I think that then the Saturday night was local youth soccer league night. And so, mm-hmm. They had quite a few people out there. I think the recorded attendance was 4,500 or just there over. I believe Kevin Lindstrom has an article about that up on y'all's blog as well.
Yeah.
So I got to meet him on that game. That was a great guy right there. So go make sure you read his stuff if you care about the sidekicks.
Fun fact about Kevin Lindstrom.
Yes.
He was the very first person to ever do a power ranking of MLS teams.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yep.
He recently started doing them again, didn't he? Or did he?
Yeah, that's why his power rankings over at Third Degree are called the original MLS power rankings, because he did those for Third Degree way back when, and then the league went, we could do this.
And then they have like the Audi power of index and craziness now.
Someone should give Kevin an A4, you know.
They should. Kevin will make it happen somehow.
We'll give you some A4 paper.
There you go. Well, I can print out a picture of an A4 and mail it to him. my total impression, or I guess overall impression, is it was a lot of fun. I'm a hockey player, or at least I was before I started this podcast. I had to give that up in order to make room in my schedule for this thing. And so I'd actually never seen a professional indoor soccer game before. Didn't really know what to expect, but it's basically like hockey soccer, and it's fast paced because they're basically playing in the same boards and arena that the Allen All-Americans play. So it's like they're in the hockey rink with turf on it, and there's line changes just like there is in hockey. And there was a penalty. Somebody got a blue card and went to the sin bin, and there was a power play. It was a lot of fun. I learned a lot about non-outdoor soccer, so that was cool. I would take my kids there too. They're kind of going for that family atmosphere at the moment. They have a announcement at the beginning, you know, like, let's make sure to be respectful with your shouting and stuff. So I mean, there was the crowd got pretty loud. It's a fairly small arena, and but you know, it seems like it's a pretty good family atmosphere, good place to take your kids. So I was overall really impressed. I'd go back for sure.
It seems like they've kind of found the balance. When they relaunched the team in 2012 or 2013, whatever it was, they were trying to like appeal to the supporters groups at FC Dallas, but at the same time, you know, they'd send people to games, and then during intermissions, they'd start playing SpongeBob SquarePants. And it was like they were trying to go all out kids, but at the same time ask supporter groups to come and do their thing. And those, they can coexist, but you can't go all in on one and the other. Like now they've got, I can't remember the name of it. Some of the El Matador guys have started up a supporters group.
I think they call it the Front or something like that.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's also... the Dallas, they approached the Dallas Beer Guardians before launching. There's an initiative called Operation Verde. so that'll be, you know, you may see a banner at Sidekicks games. If you see Operation Verde or the Front, it's basically your FC Dallas supporters groups.
Yeah, there was a guy, I believe one of the guys from FC Drums was there playing his quads, and they had him mic'd up and everything. And he started with an FC Dallas kit on, but by the end he was wearing the Sidekicks jersey, and the people around him seemed to be enjoying it, and you could hear the drums across the whole thing. It was pretty cool. But keep going.
I was gonna ask how the soccer itself was.
It started out kind of slow, but by like the second into right about halftime, and then the second half, it was actually really fast paced. The players were getting more into it. I mean, I guess the same thing happens in outdoor soccer, where you spend some time kind of feeling out where the opponent's weaknesses are, what they're, how they're going to react, you know, throwing some feints, and seeing what the opponent's going to react. But once things kicked into gear, there was quite a bit of action. The I guess so. The Dallas Sidekicks had a couple new, I guess, new shining Michelle, who was an FC Dallas alum. He'd been off in Oklahoma City and then Miami, and then he came back here to play for the Sidekicks. And so, you know, there's some skillful players on the team. They got a guy named Jamie Lovegrove, who had an absolute snipe shot from the corner, and it just went right over the keeper's head and into the top corner of the net from a really tough angle. And it was really rather impressive. And, you know, they ended up losing the game. They made a comeback at the end, and there was like maybe a minute period where you thought the game had gotten out of hand, but then there was a comeback and a lot of drama. So, it's not the quality of players that you're going to, I mean, it's not Messi and Liverpool,
but it's Landon Donovan.
But it's fun to watch, and it's not terrible soccer.
So are you recommending that for every game, or just for the fans that want to go see Landon in March?
That was kind of funny. I guess that was announced last week, and they were really pushing hard on that. On the hey, come to our next the announcing the public announcement, the PA system. They were really pushing hard on Landon Donovan. Hey, come see Landon Donovan when he comes to play the Sidekicks, and the Sidekicks employees next to me were just like, oh, you know, we're going to be there too. The Sidekicks will be playing too. It was just kind of funny. They were kind of getting mad about how hard they were pushing the Atlanta Donovan thing.
Well, that's how FC Dallas do it too. You know, yeah. Come see. Yeah. Come buy an Ibrahimovic jersey.
Right. In our team club shop.
Yeah.
One cool thing, or I guess kind of fun moment for me personally, I had kind of worked with their, I guess, media relations person. I had kind of made some graphics, some player graphics for them with, you know, I guess this black and white player image with some color streaks over it. And I have some autographed ones that I'll be finding a way to give away. But I had some extras from a test run that I'd done. And so after the games, the kids are allowed to go out on the field and get autographs from all the players. And so I had this one player's name's Cameron Brown. I just done a test run of his graphic. I took it out there to the concourse at halftime, just kind of see what was going on and kind of take that in. And so I'm like, all right, well, I have like 10 of these. I'll just give them to some kids and maybe they can go get autographs. And then I see a lady wearing the Cameron Brown jersey. So I walk up to her and I'm like, hey, I see you're wearing this jersey. Here's a graphic I made. I have some extras. You're welcome to have one. And she looks at me and she goes, that's my son. Thank you so much. So that was kind of cool. Just kind of see the moms are here and they'll support. You see Reggie and Kellen's moms at the games too. So it's always fun to see that soccer is indeed a family affair.
100%. You know, if you ever get to spend a game with the Hedges family, it's well worth it.
That sounds cool. How did we sign up for that?
Not 100% sure. I had a weird moment with that. Going to Chicago a few years ago. And Matt's from Indiana. Yeah. Well, his family's from Indiana. I think he was born in upstate New York. But, you know, so there's the entire Hedges family there. He goes down clutching his head. He's just been kicked. His mom screams, get up, Matt. Just get up. you know, I found it funny. And then I bumped into Matt at practice a couple of weeks later. I was like, hey, so your whole family were there. What was the special occasion? He turns around and he goes, my grandfather just died.
Jeez. how do you respond to that?
I was like, sorry, bad.
That's funny. Or not? I mean, it's not funny that grandpa. The situation that you were in is kind of humorous, not his. Let's just be.
Yeah, that would be terrible otherwise. There's a lot of families out there. Matt's mom and sister used to always hang out with the Beer Guardians. Kellen's mom, Kaniko's, she's awesome. I'm pretty sure she lives in Houston, so I'm pretty sure when FC Dallas goes down to Houston, she'll still hang out with the FC Dallas fans. Like you say, Reggie's mom too. It's kind of funny though, whenever you do anything about the players, any coverage, you always get a few regulars: Chris Richards' parents, Kellen's parents, Reggie's parents, mm-hmm. and a few others.
For sure. We're going to close out our sidekicks talk here with a little, I guess we'll call it my first scoop, if you want to call it that. So like I said earlier, Michelle is back in Dallas with the sidekicks after having gone to Oklahoma City and Miami. And before the game, he was spotted out at the FC Dallas scrimmages. I don't know if you spotted him. Do you see him there?
He came over and said hi. He was hanging around talking 7 different languages with people, being Brazilian.
Yeah. So after the game, I kind of asked him about, what brought him back to Dallas, and we've got this gold nugget here.
Hang on.
Yeah.
So, you were out at SC Dallas training this morning. What's your relationship with that team like? And did that relationship play any part in you coming back to Dallas?
You mean Sidekicks or the Dallas?
FC Dallas.
FC Dallas. Okay, so I got back in Dallas to live with my family. I think it's the best place in United States to live with the family and stuff like that. And whenever I retired from Miami in 2017, and I spoke with my wife, and we think it's the best way to coming back to Dallas and live the life here. So we have a little daughter, so she can grow up here and have quality of life.
And still good relationship with everybody over there?
Of course, yes. I will be joining them at the USL team as assistant coach. And I always have a good relationship with them.
Thank you.
Okay. You good? You guys good?
Yeah. Thank you.
So, yeah, that was kind of just an interesting nugget to drop at the end of that guy. Looked over at Kevin Lindstrom, and we were like, did he just say what we thought he said? So that'll be interesting. He'll be joining fellow Dallas Burn alumni Eric Quill on the coaching staff. So kind of exciting to see that team taking
definitely shape. It's good to see Michelle keeping active. He came in with Pete Lucene last year and started coaching some of the academy kids. He was assistant coach to Lucene's under-13s last year, who played some of the most technically brilliant football I've ever seen in my life, which is crazy, but it's what you'd expect from a guy who played with Ronaldinho and's best friends with Thierry Henry, right? Michelle also took the college kids who were coming for the summer camp over the year. For those who don't know, FC Dallas do like a college camp for academy players that are returning from college, and they can't necessarily play with the team for the sake of their NCAA eligibility, but there's nothing to train with. So FC Dallas will kind of keep tabs on them, give them a good professional workout during the summer.
And don't they have to have like a certain amount of hours training with the academy in order to like maintain that homegrown eligibility?
Yes, that too. Sorry, you were completely right there. So that kind of helps them tick over with that. So he'd been doing that. He's been playing soccer for Dallas Elite FC. And kind of doing bits. So it was good to sort of see him returning to FC Dallas this year. You know, the other one that kind of started coaching and seems to have drifted away a little bit was Javier Morales.
Mm.
He his son Santi's in one of the academy teams. He had been starting to coach last year and was announced as getting a job. Then we started hearing rumors that he was going to Miami and he was going to be Beckham's like big academy guy. Those rumors haven't died down. Everyone keeps saying it's only a matter of days, but I've been saying that for a few months. He was at the Sidekicks game. He was pictured with Peter Lucene, and he's been showing up to a lot of FC Dallas practices, not wearing FC Dallas gear. So, you know, maybe he is going to Miami, maybe he isn't. Not 100% sure, but it's good to see that they've locked Michel down along with Peter Lucene with the first team job there.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of those players are coming, returning back. It kind of speaks to the family atmosphere that the club has and the positive side to that, you know, where, you know, everybody feels so at home here. They just want to, when they're done playing, they want to come back here and be a part of it still.
It's also smart. I mean, you know, Lucene works a lot with midfielders and passing, and, you know, he's a central midfielder who's played in La Liga, Ligue 1, somewhere else. He's kind of played everywhere. He's been at Atletico Madrid. He's been at Paris Saint-Germain. He's played with the top players. He didn't win a France cap, but he was captain of the France under-21s. You know, he's a very cultured player and a technically brilliant player. It's good to have him on the staff. Michel, we all saw what he could do with his left foot from a dead ball situation. It's good to have him on the staff. It's, mm-hmm. you know, it'd be good to kind of use players who are coming out of their time as a professional soccer player who are looking to go into coaching, who have clear uses. I guess Lucci would be a great example as a professional player who played as a striker, or as someone who takes more of an interest in the finishing and the ability to do that. If Coleman was here, maybe it'd be great if he was working with him on that side of the game. Well, Coleman's a fantastic striker in every other facet of the game except for the final touch.
For putting the ball in the net.
Yeah, the important part.
Right. No, I mean, that's a whole nother topic for a whole nother show. And we'll go ahead and call time on this one, though. So, hey, Dan, where can we find you and support you?
My PayPal is... You can find me... Third Degree, which is sportsday.dallasnews.com, the Sports Day DFWD sports section of Dallas Morning News. You can find me at mlssoccer.com. Typically, if there's FC Dallas coverage, that's me. Occasionally, I'll even be on Third Degree's podcast or just residing 24/7 in the press box at Toyota Stadium.
Eating the cookies.
The red velvet, not so much those weird toffee apple ones. They're terrible.
We'll have another show after the Coleman one about the intricacies of the FC Dallas press box fair, if you will.
Yeah, and maybe even look back on the Toronto game when there was a 3-hour weather delay and we were, you know, still in the press box at like 3 a.m.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some good stories there. All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Dan.
Thank you for having me. It's big fan. Really happy to be able to jump on and talk some soccer with you.
Anytime you want to talk soccer, just give me a shout. Thank you guys all so much for listening. You can find us at DallasSoccerShow.com or on Twitter at DallasSoccerShow. Show without an E in soccer. I think that's right. I had to drop one letter and I always forget which one it was. But anyways, you can find us there. That's where we're kind of trying to take part in the community. But yeah, thanks everybody for listening and we'll catch you next time.